to The Full Story.
Welcome back. I'm John Yip. Now, earlier in the hour, I discussed the growing food security crisis around the world, with some countries resorting to trade restrictions on food supplies in an attempt to stabilize the domestic prices of food. But rising food costs are only part of the larger trend of accelerating inflation. This week, we heard that Singapore's headline or overall inflation rose to 5.4% year-on-year in April. The inflationary trend could be seen in almost all sectors, from retail to services to energy and utilities, as well as property and commodities. And Singapore is not alone in this. The whole world is experiencing rising inflation, just as countries are beginning to emerge from the COVID-19 pandemic, hampering the ability of many economies to effectively grapple with the challenge. And so, as we near the halfway mark of 2022, I thought it's timely to take stock of where the global economy is and what markets are saying about what the next 6 to 7 months ahead would look like. So for more on this, I'm joined by Terence Wong, founder and CEO of Azure Capital. Very good evening, Terence. Thanks for joining me on The Full Story.
Hi, John.
Yes, so Singapore is different from most other countries in the fact that our central bank tackles inflation by adjusting exchange rate policies. That said, local interest rates will inevitably be influenced by U.S. interest rates. And according to the minutes of their most recent meeting in early May, we see that the U.S. Fed Reserve is now considering a more aggressive rate hike to curb U.S. inflation. So the prospect of rate increases has already had the impact on U.S. markets. So what can past experience tell us about how long the current market turmoil we're seeing, how long would it last?
Well, John, I think that there's really no textbook answer. The bottom, though, is typically a quarter or two before the trough of the economic cycle. And to determine where the trough is, it's really anybody's guess, right? But for me, I do believe that there is going to be a recession. And with the recession coming, I believe that, you know, the bottom of the market or the bottom of the economic cycle will only be a few quarters away. You can still see that there's growth currently, in most of the countries out there, right? So, and because we are operating at a very, very low base, 2020, the whole global economy got whacked. 2021 was a recovery year, continuing into the first half of 2022. But looking ahead, I think it's going to be patchy growth before we start to get hit. And it will be, like I mentioned, a few quarters later. But what is for sure is we are definitely not at the bottom yet. But that's not to say that, you know, the global markets or the global equity markets will continue to slide all the way down until we hit the bottom. We will see, you know, there will be bouts of optimism. That, you know, some people are hopeful that the economy will not be as bad as, you know, initially thought. So then the markets will start to jump a little bit. Some people call it dead cat bounce. There will be some form of recovery. And then when reality sinks in, that's where the market will start to slide until we find a bottom in the economic cycle, or at least we know the bottom is near. That's when the markets will start to bounce up. Just to give you an indication, back in 1998, the Asian financial crisis, our markets hit a bottom circa August 1998. And that exactly coincides with the worst point of the crisis. In 2008, 2009, the global financial crisis, our bottom was somewhere between March and April of 2009, and again that coincided or it's just before the bottom of our economic cycle.
So you took some of the words right out of my mouth, because I was just about to ask you about the dreaded R word, and you just mentioned that you think it's inevitable. So I suppose it's a moot point to ask you, are we just seeing a long overdue correction of stock prices?
Well, if you ask me, I know that there are still people out there that are thinking that there is going to be a soft landing, that, you know, the economy is not going to be all that bad. We will just see a slowing growth, because, and then there are some justifications for that. They say, oh, there's going to be a reopening. So the economy will start to boom again and jobs market continue to be tight. It is now an employee's market. They can call whatever wages they want and they can continue to spend and spend their way out of this harsh times. But like I said, I believe a recession is going to come. Inflation, like what you mentioned right at the top of this interview, is at a generation high. In terms of US and UK, it's 40-year high. US is facing inflation of 8%. UK is 9%. And for us, even though it's a decade high, we've punched above 3% recently. The number was just announced. But if you think about it, 10 years ago in 2012, you feel that inflation was such a big issue? Because I jogged back my memory, and definitely not. You know, I don't complain about, you know, prices at hawker center, prices going up at the pumps. So and all around, just about everything, the prices are just going up. Hey, even Daiso has to change its pricing plan, right? I believe that this inflation will continue to persist. We had an opportunity in, you know, the past one and a half years. I am talking about the Fed, that they could have actually like increased the rate in order to tame inflation, but they didn't do so. And right now, I think that it's running away. A lot of people are blaming the war, the Russia-Ukraine war. It is a catalyst for higher inflation, but inflation forces already started as early as, you know, early part of 2021. At that point in time, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell was saying that, oh, this is just transitory. And his narrative never changed until all the way till November 2021. At a point in time, I think it was too little, too late when they started to say, oh, we need to start to shift. And there was like a mindset, there was basically a paradigm shift in terms of their thoughts with regards to inflation. So it is running away. And the odds, I think, are currently against the global economy of just a pure slowdown rather than a recession. Because only 3 times in history have we tamed inflation down without going through a recession. And none of the 3 times has the inflation been so high. So I don't think that we can actually turn it around right now. We just have to brace ourselves and prepare for the downturn.
So what does that mean for local companies in Singapore? As part of your work, you regularly visit companies to see for yourself at first hand how businesses operate. So if, as you just pointed out, the recession is inevitable, and that comes at a point in time when we are also dealing with inflation, then essentially what we're looking at is stagflation. What will this mean for local businesses, and what can they do to cope and prepare?
I think if there's a silver lining, the good news is that many of the companies that we have in Singapore right now, as much as the listed companies are concerned, you know, they're much stronger than before. We don't even talk about, I mean, definitely stronger than, you know, during the Asian financial crisis. How we built up and strengthened through global financial crisis and in 2011, 2012 during the soft landing portion. So if you look at the balance sheet, the financials of these listed companies in Singapore, I'm not even talking about the big ones like the property guys, the banks, the REITs. All these are good, but the smaller ones have also made an attempt, a very, very good attempt to actually strengthen their own balance sheets. And many of them are trading at net cash levels. So they'll be able to withstand a shock to the system, definitely can tahan. And if the stock prices were to be hit, and I believe that it will, you know, sometime down the road, I think that it's a good strategy for us to really like shore up our reserves right now, shore up the cash and take advantage of any potential downturns or like hits in the markets and get many of these companies at a song. And these companies, I know when during bad times, right, some of the smaller companies will be hit much harder than the big companies, and to the tune of 50-60%. And sometimes it gets so low that these companies are only trading as much as the cash levels, which means that you are getting the business for free. And I've seen that over the different downturns. So, and investors can invest in, I believe, these very safe products, these very safe stocks, and get very, very good returns over a short period of time.
Speaking of investors, we know that there have been many individuals in the past year or two, maybe even earlier than that, they have been very enthusiastic about cryptocurrencies, more recently NFTs. It's been a fad, and of course, everything has come crashing down in just the past month or so. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm really no expert in this cryptocurrency space, but what I can tell is, you know, what goes up fast can slump even faster. And with cryptocurrency, I think a lot of it just depends on pure demand, supply. And I really don't want to gloat now and say that, you know, I told you so, because, you know, in the next 2-3 years, that could easily bounce back up like double, triple. I don't personally hold any cryptocurrencies, but I do see it playing an increasingly important role. Notwithstanding the current violent shakeup, there will be greater adoption in the mainstream space, I believe, by corporates. And by corporates, I don't mean just the likes of, say, Tesla. Tesla is not exactly mainstream, but I do believe that more corporates will look into this space. There will be also institutions, because some of the big funds out there have also committed part of their asset under management into the crypto space. I think it's here to stay. It's just that for me personally, I don't invest in it because I really don't know how to value it. Is it right that Bitcoin is 10,000, 30,000, or 60,000? And some say, oh, it should be flying to 125,000. I really don't know, and I can't value it. And because I believe very much in fundamental analysis, I cannot get myself to commit to buying into cryptos.
Well, let's talk about evaluating the possibilities of entrepreneurial opportunities. You have personal experience of starting new ventures at bad times, but mm-hmm. somehow still managed to make it work. What's your advice to budding entrepreneurs out there? Should they be holding back their plans right now, as we've just described, it's a very challenging situation right now, or is there no such thing as the right time?
Okay, my business is a little bit atypical because I run a fund management company. And with fund management company, I cannot say I want to start right now, I can start immediately. I have to jump through hoops, right? And hurdles. There are the regulators that I have to manage, I have to bring the lawyers who start to help me set up the fund prospectus as well as the structure of my fund management company, you know, and I need to onboard fund administrators. So all in the process will take 8 to 12 months. So I can say, oh, this is a good time right now, but 8 months later, the whole climate will change. Mm-hmm. Right. So I just basically have to bite the bullet. So my business, I think really there's no good or bad time. It's unlike, say, a retail or F&B business, right? If it were a retail and F&B business, I look at the climate right now, I may think twice, and I believe I can afford to wait. Why? Because the rentals are still very, very sticky. They're still very, very high right now. Wages continue to climb because of inflation or the expected inflation. If you're in the food business, as you mentioned, food prices have been escalating, so their margins are also getting hit. So I believe that if they were to wait another 6-12 months when things come off and then there's a jolt to the system, people start to drop out, you know, and commercial prices become a lot lower, the rentals become lower, and wages also start to decline. And that is when I think that, you know, they can afford to enter. They don't need to wait. They don't need to have that lag time like I do, right? So I think that for people like that, for entrepreneurs into this retail F&B space, they could probably wait a little. But for me, or for my business, really no good or bad time.
Yes, so a lot of it is case by case. There's no one size fit all answers. We still have a little bit of time. You mentioned the possibility, a very real possibility of a recession. At the same time, we're dealing with all these rising cost of living issues. What would your worry be for ordinary people at this very challenging time?
I'm ordinary myself. I think that it's complacency. I look around, people Well, at least many people may just be complaining that, you know, they go to wet market, prices have gone up, but yet they are not thinking about what's going to happen in the future. And I give you an example. I look at over the last weekend, you have that product, you have that launch, the property launch in Mountbatten, and you see people queuing up. It was crazy, the queues, 77% of the units got sold, and it was kind of record prices at that place, because people were very careful. They, you know, they were very worried that, you know, prices will continue to climb, and, you know, mortgage rates will also continue to be higher. And the rates, to be fair, has like spiked up significantly. We're talking about just half a year ago, it was like 1.1, 1.2%. Now everything is above 2%. So it's a very sharp rise. It's understandable why people are worried about it and they just want to grab their hands on the farmer. But please, I think they do need to think about the bigger picture. If they were to get an apartment right now, what if they were to lose the job? Then, you know, they will have to be forced to sell the place, you know, possibly at a loss. Because right now, you know, when they're queuing up, there's a lot of people are very kanchiong. They want to just buy their place and they don't mind what the developers come up with. But when the economy starts to dip, you know, prices are also going to tame, right? And they're going to come off. So don't always think that the property prices will go up and fly up forever. And that's the same for many other goods. So I think that John's a very old friend of mine. We were still together. We were scouts together. And remember what our motto for scouts? Be prepared. Mm-hmm. I think that people are just not prepared right now. A lot of people are just going, wow, the economy is opening up. I'm going to go start to travel. There's like, I have to revenge spend just like my neighbor. The bottom line is people really need to think a little bit further out. Things are not going to be great. I see sort of a perfect storm coming through, right? I hate to say on your final program, John, I hate to be this barrel of bad news. Why am I doing this? We should be talking about something nicer, sweeter, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. Where to go for holidays. But since we're on this topic, you know, I can't help but think, you know, that things are really going to get bad. I can see it all happening. Last year, we were hoping that, you know, with, you know, the supply chain issues coming off, and then there's the oil prices coming down, inflation will easily dip, but that didn't happen. And I think that now with geopolitical tensions, it will be a lot stickier, for inflation. And that's going to be the biggest curse of the markets.
Wise words there, Terence. Be prepared. And I think a lot of us can certainly do more to be a bit more prudent given the turmoil ahead. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, John.
My guest was Terence Wong, founder and CEO of Azure Capital. And as you've just heard from Terence, this is the last edition of The Full Story.